Hello and welcome back to the Soapbox Podcast. It's so good to be back again. And obviously I am joined by my father, Darren. How has your week been?
Yes, it's been an interesting week, travelling all over the place and enjoying the great country we live in, Australia. Some beautiful country up in the northern area where you live, Andrew, around the back of where. So it's been an interesting week.
We've been all over the place, hence we're recording it a little bit differently than what we have been, but it's so good to be able to sit down and to chat. And this week we want to talk about a report which has recently been released by McCrindle Research that the Adventist Church asked to happen. This is a really interesting report because it's looking at the perceptions of Adventism in the general community rather than just our normal internal surveys at with church, and highlighted a stat, which is a bit of a headline stat, which is that 64% of Australians have no idea who Adventists are. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's quite a blow, actually, when you think about who we are. We have all these schools, we have these churches, we have our major flagship hospital, we have sanitarium, which is weak because Australia's number one cereal, and so good, not far behind, but not many actually know who we are. And that is quite a blow to think about, that really, if we're going to get our message of who we are out there, we're still only halfway there to even getting the message out that we exist.
Yeah, it's pretty startling, especially given the institutions that we do have, like the SAN, the Sydney Adventist Hospital, that's considered now basically the number one hospital for cancer in the world. That should be a headline thing. We should be known by the good things that we're doing, not just the negatives, but rather we're just unknown, despite the fact that we've made a concerted effort to be known. And that leaves me pondering, and the report does go into some of these things, that leaves me pondering, why? What are we seeing and hearing that is contributing to this, and what would our first reflections be after we heard these stats and saw the report?
Yes, well, I haven't read the report in complete detail. I've just glanced through it because it arrived across my desk yesterday. And yes, my first thought was, okay, we haven't been doing a very good job then of letting at least half the people know who we are. And that says to me, are we shrinking or are we growing in our message and who we are and branding and getting it out there? I mean, there's been a lot of work done on branding over the last few years, and our logo, our distinctive orange logo now, that is on everything. I don't see much on our sanitarium products itself, but at least the address is there. But despite our labelling, despite us trying to put up these neon signs, even in communities advertising who we are and what we have, people are still driving by or aren't driving by our churches. And often I think we have been expecting the old idea of the fortress mentality, that we preserve what we have. People come to us rather than us going to them. I think there's some more talk head around how do we better engage with the population that is in Australia and New Zealand, where the report covers.
I guess someone listening to this right now will be questioning, how can this be? Because we are obsessed with evangelism. Literally, we are obsessed with it. And we spend, millions of dollars maybe every year across Australia on evangelism. And yet people have no idea who we are. And that means we need a question. That means we need a question. That whole structure is the way we've done evangelism, is the way we've got our name out there actually working? Is it actually worthwhile? Is it something that we should continue with? And there's one other thing I want to highlight here. And this is that, and I want to talk more about relevance a little bit more, but I think this is an important thing to start with. It says in the first few pages, just after the executive summary of the research, McCrindle Research notes that just one in six individuals strongly or somewhat agree that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is relevant in the 21st century, at 17% in Australia. Similarly, just 1 in 7 agree that it is relevant to their age group. Interestingly, younger generations are more likely to recognize the relevance of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today, and younger Australians are more likely to believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is relevant to their age group. 23% for Gen Zs, 19% for Gen Ys, 17% for Gen Xs, and only 10% for baby boomers, and only 6% for builders believe that it is relevant in the 21st century. And the same is also true in New Zealand. And really, that stat gets highlighted even more in that there's only just 4% of people believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is relevant in the 21st century. That should be startling.
4%, Andrew?
4%.
So 4% only, 4% of the population believe that we're relevant.
Yes.
That gives you a big reality check right now and saying, well, is what we are doing being effective at all? And are we answering questions that are not even being asked when it comes to our programs and our outreach and our evangelism?
I think that's it. And as you read the report, and I read it pretty in depth yesterday and this morning again, you realize that the Adventist Church, we are asking questions and trying to answer questions about eschatology, as in studies of the end, and answering questions about moral issues that society are no longer asking. We're answering the questions that society doesn't want to have answered. People these days are looking for questions that answer their purpose, that answer their meaning, that answer their whys, that give them connection and belonging, rather than giving them a identity outside of our society. And I think it's a pretty complex sort of question for us to work through, but we do have to sit down. If only 4% think we're relevant, we're going to sit down and think, are we even asking the right questions or trying to answer the right questions in our practice? And Scott Cormode from Fuller, he has an interesting quote in his book. He used it when he was out here speaking during our Growing Together seminars, but it's in his book. Now I've got the name of his book, but he says that the church is calibrated for a world that no longer exists.
That's talking about the church in general, not just the Adventist church. But mm-hmm. And I think when you think back to the 1950s and 60s, a lot of our churches were built and planted based on running community programs and often pitching a tent. The good old camp meeting was you'd have it in a town, you'd pitch a tent, you would put the sawdust on the floors, put the benches out, you'd have your prophecy church at the front, and everyone in the town would come past and have a look because it was the big top and someone speaking was the way that people reached people and talked to people. It was people came out to the tent meetings and it was relevant and churches were built on that. But I think that our problem is that we have tried to use the same methods to reach an ever-increasing dwindling audience. And if we're not careful, we as a church are going to continue to sail into irrelevancy if we don't do something. Now, I've traveled a lot in my previous work as a departmental director in the Adventist Church in North and South Wales, and some churches are doing well. Other churches, you've got to ask the question, where will they be in 10, 15, 20 years' time if we don't begin to become relevant, if we don't begin to ask the hard questions of what it means to reach our communities effectively with the message that we have? Now, I'm not saying the message is wrong.
But I was going to call you out there. Doing it. Well, that's exactly right, is that I often hear this when we start having this conversation and it shuts down the conversation straight away. And what people say is, but biblical truth is always relevant. Now, yes, biblical truth is always relevant, but how are we sharing biblical truth? Is biblical truth something that we are sharing in such a way that people can see and experience their deepest questions being answered, or are we sharing it in a in a way that is only forcing our worldview and is only forcing our perspective upon everyone else. It's a bit of a complex sort of question, because we are very passionate about the Bible and we are very passionate about seeing truth being shared, but I don't know. I'm just saying I've experienced, and I know that people will say that, but what about biblical truth? It's always relevant.
It is, but Jesus called us to be salt. He called us to be the yeast. He called us to go to the entire world. Now, if we are preaching to an ever-shrinking audience, and if we're advertising and spending more money on advertising to get the numbers into our programs, then I have a problem with that. I've got to ask, is that good stewardship? And also, when you read in John, Jesus tells his disciples to cast the net on the other side of the boat. And maybe we haven't been even thinking about what it means to cast the net on the other side of the boat. And yeah, Jesus' message is just as relevant, if not more, needed today than ever. And I think that research points to the fact that younger audiences are seeing us as relevant more so than older audiences, which is an interesting stat. But at the same time, the society is moving on, and even the methods of communication have moved on, and we as a church largely have shrunk back to our fortress mentality and have not embraced, and I know I'm going to talk about social media in a moment as part of the report, but I think that we've shrunk back from means of reaching people, or we try to use it to run the same programs rather than thinking about what it means to embrace and dialogue and talk in an online world, let alone in a physical world.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think it also comes down to the way that we talk about our beliefs as Adventists, because we, I think, in all of our evangelism, we only talk about a very small portion of our overall beliefs. And when the rest of our beliefs, if we go through everything that we believe, when we talk about the Sabbath, we talk about rest, we talk about looking at our whole body health, and we talk about looking at what the simple gospel of Jesus, all of those things actually answer questions that people are longing for today, because our society is in a space that is moving so quickly. And it's not just consumerism in terms of accumulation now, it's also consumerism in terms of having our innermost needs met. And people want their innermost needs met. Now, the Sabbath, our society is burnt out. We're talking about burnout so much. We're trying to work out ways to stop burnout, and people are talking about Sabbathing. But we have a great opportunity to speak into that, to give it language, to give it meaning, to give it purpose for our society today. And so I think it comes down again to the way we are communicating what we actually believe, is that what we believe needs to be communicated to Australia in a way that's relevant for 21st century 2022 Australia, and it's soon to be 2023 Australia. And
that's right. And I think that Kalinowski said it well in his quote that I often quote, is that the kingdom advances at the speed of relationships. And
yeah,
I read this executive report, the word relationships keeps coming through again and again and again. And we're pretty good at preaching propositional truth, but not so good at building relationships. And often people come through our doors and they sit in our church, they like what they hear, but they don't stay because we don't actually embrace them in relationships. And I think that's something to look at a little bit more detail too.
I see that time and time again. Yeah, we often struggle to engage people and embed them into our actual community. And I think you're exactly right. We may have focused too much on head knowledge, and we might be afraid of using our hearts to connect to one another.
It's interesting that when you look at the natural church development, things that happen, and they call it across our churches, the number one thing that keeps coming through again and again and again, our biggest weakness, if you like, that if we plug that gap, we will naturally grow, is loving relationships. Mm. We don't seem to get it. We sort of read it, oh, yes, that's lovely, but we don't want to put it into action. We don't actually want to be loving. It reminds me of going back. I sent you a couple of links yesterday, because when you shared the report with me yesterday, my mind went back to in the 1980s.
Yes.
And I know if you saw the ads, they're a bit old now looking, but we can send the links somewhere on the channel if you like to see them. It was a good old Adventist 1980s ads. Do you need a hand? It was a jingle we got up. We had movie of someone helping someone else. Those ads were so successful. Everyone recognised and knew Adventist by their "Do you need a hand?" ad. It came up in the cricket. It came up in the footy. It came up in the general programming of our TVs on multiple channels. And the "Do you need a hand?" ad in the 1980s were really, really, really successful. It was all about serving and building relationships and saying we as a church exist to serve and build relationships and we want to serve and help you. They were successful. But I haven't seen anything as successful since the 1980s with those ads.
And it's not, that's the thing is we seem to be afraid, at least this is an outsider's view because I'm not in all of the corporate conversations about this, but we seem to be afraid of being real and authentic on our social media. If you go through any conferences, social media, and any union or any division or any other head office social media accounts, it's very corporate. It's very stale. We rarely get the stories that are actually going on and the stories of success that are happening as well. They rarely come across in our social media. So it's a very safe, if you will, version of social media. And I think this next stat might help us. 2 in 3 people have never seen our marketing or media before. Wow. 2 in 3 people in Australia have never seen our marketing or media before.
I'm sure if you went and asked the baby boomers and the old generation about the Lend a Hand ads, everyone could talk about that because we were in the media of the day then, which was your free-to-air TV. Now, since then, of course, we've moved into the social media world. And when I travel on trains or walk down city, everyone is on a device and it's often flicking through YouTube clips or TikTok clips is where they are, where they seem to be. And probably you'll probably be more aware where they're moving even more than that. That's what I see is that little videos are people just scroll through videos and look at them and laugh at them or listen to them or watch them. And it's short, 30 second to 2 minutes at the most, I think probably most of them are, just enough to get people in to get a message across. So really, no longer does a 60-minute propositional truth type of a program necessarily work as much as a 2 minutes. We have really 2 minutes to get something across.
Well, less than that, really. People will decide in the first 15 seconds if they're going to continue watching it. I can tell you that from experience. There was some key recommendations. I think this speaks into the social media conversation a bit more. And the key recommendations that came from the study that McCrindle did is there's 4 of them. The first one is 1, clearly communicate the core beliefs and principles of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we have to clearly communicate. Now, communicating these days isn't just having it on a website somewhere. It's actually talking about it online, getting onto TikTok and having people talk about how they live out their faith in a really engaging way. We can't just become stale and be afraid of those spaces. We actually have to engage with them. I've had some people tell me, we can't engage with those spaces because it's going to cause controversy. I'd rather have just a little bit of controversy and be, and not in a bad way, but to be known for the good things versus just sitting in our fortress and not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with our society about who we are.
You know, things like, when you think about it, the fact that Adventists in general live longer than the general population, that's something that people want to live longer, and that's something we can share as a little gimmick to get people in. Hey, this is the Adventist advantage, or the fact that we have an amazing hospital that is well with heart surgery or cancer surgery, or that we have Stormco that goes out and serves. Do people know that we have Stormcos that go out and the number of young people that go out and serve communities? That's the sort of thing that could be a short little gimmicky thing online that would get some messages across. And I think that's what this is saying, is that we need to not shrink back from our beliefs. Our beliefs are good, but let's find more relevant ways of sharing them in an online world where most people are. And if that includes online churches, then so
be it. So the next one is exactly this, is invest in the social media presence. It says, just 6% of individuals have seen Seventh-day Adventist advertising through social media. And for me, that's a little bit surprising, because I myself have spent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tithe pay, local church budget dollars, I'll get better on that, on Facebook advertising. And I've seen success through that, but clearly that advertising was not associated with the Seventh-day Adventist church. So our advertising is not clear that this is actually who we are. And I don't know about that.
Yes, using of advertising, often we're using it to advertise the same programs and events as what we've normally run. I think we need to change it up a little bit and maybe get some of the younger people like your generation, Andrew, and the generation coming here below me to speak into this and to actually tell us. They can show us the way, because you guys are the digital natives. You've been born with this stuff, and you can. I think we need to, as growing to young, growing together research says, we need to hand over the keys in this area particularly and ask our younger people to teach us how to engage in social media presence, not just advertising through it, it's actually engaging in it, and that's a big difference.
Have you heard of Cross Culture Christian?
Yes.
He's a Chai guy. He's known as, he's an Adventist pastor, and he is now teaching at Andrews University in communication and something else or something. He will probably hear this and will be correct us at some point. But he has a great social media presence, and he's growing community and doing evangelism and being honest with who we are through social media. And people don't shame him for that. Our society actually embraces that. Another person that has developed a great social media presence even outside of the Adventist church is Heather Thompson Day.
Yep.
She's a communications lecturer at Andrews University. But again, there are ways that we can engage with people and be real with who we are outside of our four walls.
Not too scared to jump into that. And that's what the research is saying, is that if we're going to be successful, we need to not just dabble in it, we need to have some of these lectures you talked about, show us the way, and you younger generation, show us the way and seriously get involved in what it means to reach the current generations that are coming through, because, as I said, we're reaching an ever-shrinking audience.
We've got to go to the marketplace, basically, is what we're saying. The next thing, again, is about relationships. It says, seek opportunities to make the local church a hub of connection.
Very much. Oh, look, I'm excited about this one, because I've seen where that's been attempted. Imagine if the church was known as a place where people could go to all week to catch up, to chat, to have a cuppa, to engage in some of the programs that are offered there, like maybe taking charge of your health or taking charge of your finances or how to build relationships. Some of those things, how to Sabbath well, how to have a vegetarian diet, what that looks like. I mean, that's one thing that we can offer. And it's quite trendy now to be a vegetarian or even be a vegan. So there's some things there that we can, I think, really think about what it means to have our churches as social hubs rather than fortress closed off buildings.
And I have pastored a church that was like that. In Byron Bay there at Menahaven Cafe, all week there's connection going on. And yes, the population's transient, and yes, the church isn't necessarily growing, but there's always connection going on, and it's becoming a place where people can come and connect, not just about diet, but also connect with someone for some spiritual help or some emotional help and all kinds of other things as well. And the final one is what I've already spoken about, which is to help Australians and New Zealanders understand the relevance of the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. And again, I think that for me ties straight back into social media, ties back into the conversations we have, and comes back into the ways in which we do evangelism and let people know who we are. We have to be communicating who we are in the marketplace. We can't just be shouting it from the rooftop in a seminar that we might have most of our members at and two or three community people. No. Yeah, those are important, don't get me wrong, but we have to be in the marketplace. We need to have our pastors, our not just our pastors, but our members that are living their faith day to day, being real online as to who they are.
No, I agree with you. We need to go to where the people are. And I mean, the Gospel Commission is all about going into all the world, and that includes social media, that includes where people gather, that includes meeting places. And often what I've seen is the best way to grow the church, I believe, to sit down and have a couple with someone and just listen and build a relationship. And that is what we can all can do. There's a cup of the cup of theology, I think, is something we need to think about. Is the king, as I said, the kingdom advances at the speed of relationships. We can all do that and build a relationship with those around us and just have a conversation, build a friendship. Mm. For me, join the local chook poultry club and just be a member. And some of our hobbies are things where we can build relationships, and that's where we're going to, I think, permeate the marketplace, let them know we exist, and hopefully more people will know that we are around. I mean, we always said that Jesus will come when the gospel message goes to all the world. I think it's time to get serious about that and not shrink back from it, but to say that we're serious. If social media, everyone's on social media, maybe God has given us the very methods that we need to fulfill the gospel commission before he comes, and yet when shrinking back from it rather than embracing it.
Yeah, and there's many other things we could talk about there about why we shrink back. Everything from cancel culture to being afraid of controversy, being afraid of upsetting certain parts of our church. There's all kinds of facets to that. But I think that we do need to get into the marketplace. We do need to be doing relationships with people. And I guess if anyone's listening to this and they are wondering what they should do next, for me, the thing they should do next is to call up someone that they know that isn't attending church and say, hey, do you want to go get a coffee this week? That simple. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have a coffee if you don't have a coffee drinker, but having a coffee is the language of Australia for catching up and having a conversation.
Decaf, chai latte, Milo, hot chocolate, whatever it takes. But those places are gathering places. It's where people gather. And you're sitting down for a cuppa. Everyone wants to sit down and have a cuppa with you. And as you say, a coffee. And yeah, it is the way to sit down and talk to people. And we can all do that. We can all do that. I will drink a cuppa more than one in a day if it means building relationships.
Absolutely. And I think one final thing as we finish up is that, for me, this research also highlighted something that we as a church have been talking about for a while. We've been talking about our young people that are leaving the church. But this survey also highlights that young people are the ones that are most interested and open to attending church. And I think that's an encouragement, is that we need to invest in children's ministries, family ministries, and youth ministries tenfold more, because that is a space in Australia where young people are searching for meaning, and they are willing to attend our events, and they are willing to get engaged in church.
I agree with you, and speaking my language now, Andrew, that if we were to just aim lower, as I say, aim lower and reach the 4 to 14 window, which is everyone's talking about, the age 4 to 14, but also our youth ministries, which are fantastic. The things we do with Storm Co's, the things we do with summer camps, some of the events that the youth run are A1 world-class community building, relationship building events that we need to plug people into. I think the best thing church can do is sponsor its community young people that they rub shoulders with, say, hey, we want to send you off to a summer camp and sponsor them to go. Or we're doing a Storm Co. We'd like you to come with us. It's those sorts of things that are going to, I think, build relationships and grow the kingdom. But also, I think our last podcast is advertising the last one. If you go back to that one, I think the key to also reaching our younger generations is to move from a talking head to an intergenerational community, and that's being different. So go back, listen to the previous podcast on this same channel that you're on now, and and have a listen to that one. I think the two podcasts, that one and today, are a little bit related in ways to move forward as a church and become more relevant to
absolutely our mission. Marcus Torres said this on his blog post about this. He said, and this is back on the same point about young people. He says, if secular people are open to attending community service and social activities, which the research says they are, then the most missional shift our churches can make is to reorient energy from endless religious programming, read that hours and hours and hours and hours on a Sabbath that some churches spend, toward instead community service projects and social events where we can connect with and get to know our neighbours well. If this means we do less church programs so that we can do more social and church community activities, then let's do it.
Well, maybe those good old 1980s "Do You Need a Hand" ads are more relevant than ever.
I think they are.
How that works today and become known as a church that does lend a hand, especially when the chips are down.
Last night, this is a story to finish on. Last night, we went down, we picked up my mother-in-law from the train station in Wyong. We came across a guy with Michaela and I saw hopping off the train, and he was hobbling. And we went, oh, he looks old and like he's not going to make it. He could barely get off the train. And as he hobbled through, Michaela decided to go and find him and see if he needed a hand because the train was terminating at Wyong. Turned out he needed to get back to Waiyi. He's probably the same age as you, Dad, and he just had a double hip replacement. He's a lawyer. And he'd been to Hornsby 6 weeks after surgery as a celebration to try and get himself back on his feet. But lovely, lovely guy. And for me, that moment was actually faith in action because we got to have a conversation, got to know him. Turned out he's a Christian, a Protestant, share with him that I was a pastor. And he was able to say God bless as he left. And he said, this is clearly an act of Christian service. And not other people in Australia would not be willing to do that. And that's the thing, is that we need to be willing to do those uncomfortable acts of Christian service to build relationship.
A good way to end. I think the little jingle went, do you need a hand? Do you need a hand? Step right up and say, do you need a hand? So let's open our eyes, look at our community, see the felt needs as Jesus did, and meet those needs, and then we can engage in some more conversation like Jesus did. The kingdom advances at the speed of relationships.
Well, my final word is, as Jesus told his disciples, by your love for others, they will know that you are truly my disciples. If we want the Adventist Church to be known in Australia in the 21st century, we need to be known by our love for others. That's the way they're going to get to know what we stand for.
I agree with you, Andrew. That's quite a good way to end, is let's get out there and lend a hand, love others, and show the world what it means to be a true disciple.
Love it. Thank you for your time today. And if you are listening to this podcast and you're interested in following along with the conversation, my dad, he posts on his social media a regular soapbox quite frequently, that all different topics, all different conversations. And look out for some social media coming soon on Instagram and Facebook on a page that we've called The Soapbox about the podcast. And we'll start to build some community, I think, around the discussions that we're having as well. And with that, over and out, and we hope you have a wonderful week.
See you next time.